You are listening to Something Rather Than Nothing. Creator and host, Ken Vellante. Editor and producer, Peter Bauer.
They started out rather slow to say the least, right?
Yeah, they were down 24 to nothing at the first quarter. So it looked like people thought that they were going to be done. It was, there's always some magic there.
Oh, man. Yeah, I once you mentioned it, then I was like, oh gosh, of course. I pieced it together. I spent some time with my youngest, my 11-year-old today, so I was kind of like just seeing what's going on with the news, you know, what's going on with the store, with the scores, and then, you know, I was like, oh yeah, how about that?
Yes. So. Yes. Yeah.
I'm glad I have you. Thanks for doing this. This is great.
No problem.
Let's get into it. All right. You're listening to podcast Something Rather Than Nothing, and this week we have Gerald Roulette, an artist based in Portland, and he recently had a painting debut at Concordia University called The Great I Am, which is something that I noticed and really stuck out to me. And it's a great pleasure to be able to talk with a longtime artist and to learn about his process and his relationship with art. I want to welcome Gerald Roulette to the podcast.
Thank you.
So, Gerald, question we start off most episodes is, what were you like as a young child? Were you always an artist, always an athlete, or what were you like as a young child?
As a young child, I was really basically both. I always was very much into doodling and drawing. Even when I was in kindergarten, and also very into the athletics of playing all different types of sports, running around the neighborhood. You know, when I was growing up, we didn't have, you know, these games and, you know, video games and things like that. So you pretty much played and ran around the neighborhood, and so you got a lot of exercise in. And so when I wasn't doing that, then, yeah, I would sit around and kind of draw and paint and do things like that. Grew up in a family. It was 9 of us kids. And so I had 6 sisters and 2 brothers. So as I was growing up, we played a lot, you know, played a lot of sports. And, you know, they were very inclined musically, and I was inclined art-wise. And I had to use my sisters sometimes as tackling dummies. So we had a lot of fun as a family. You know, you had grown up with that many kids. There's no limit to what you can do as far as getting involved in anything. So it was fun. I had a lot of fun as a child.
Yeah, and I was obviously reading a bit about you in the background and south there. Is it fair to say that early on you're identified as kind of having artistic talent? Was that noticed early on?
Yes, it was. When I was in grade school, I had a teacher, my first grade teacher, really picked up on it. And so I was chosen, along with 2 other classmates, to do a finger painting demonstration with the tempera paint during a PTA meeting. And, you know, that was quite a reward for me to be singled out of the class and to be able to do that. And I really kind of just really stirred my more artistic side greatly, because it was such an honor to be able to do that. And I know my mom and dad were very proud of me, and she saw that I was already noticing how to not only just come up with a composition, but one that showed some depth as well.
And what forms of, or I mean, you mentioned the doodling and you just kind of developing along, you know, a long time. What type of art forms in general attract you? I've seen you done, you know, obviously paintings, and I believe, you know, have taught and done some digital art, but also photography. Is all that accurate as far as, like, you know, the types of art that attract you as an artist?
Yes. All of those things, capture my attention, and I use all those different medias because I truly see all the beauty around me. I'm really big on people watching and exploring their expressions and their body language and the things that they're doing, and then all the different nature things around. I love all of that. It's a passion. I feel like I get very emotional when I go to certain places and I see these scenic situations, and so it stirs me. And then I love when I go and I travel and I meet people or just see people interacting with each other or how they're just living. And so those are the kind of things. I as a kid, I did a lot of drawings. I was very into drawing soldiers and things like that. Even from back in the Civil War, I just always kind of like really was into that, you know. So I did a lot of doodling that and drawing, you know, some soldiers and cavalry on horseback. But as I was moving on forward, getting towards middle school, I began to draw more people and then kind of more situations of nature. And so that's how, when I was about 12 years old, I had entered a contest for a school that was a art school in Arizona. And so I did very well. So the representative came to my home to meet with my parents and asked me to do some on-site drawing so that they could see that I did the drawing, and was very impressed. And came back later and offered my mom and dad a scholarship for me to come out there to go to school in Arizona. But, you know, a 12-year-old leaving Missouri to go to Arizona to an art school, and plus there was no sports involved out there. That was not the ticket for me at the time. So
yeah.
My parents were like, no, we don't think we wanted to go off so far away from us, especially at that age. So, but I was honored again that, someone was starting to recognize my talent early.
Yeah. And you had mentioned as far as kind of some of the emotional impact of, you know, seeing people and being responsive to what you're seeing, and, you know, in seeing your work, you know, the face, what draws me in as the viewer is seeing the face of your subject, particularly in your portraits. Is that the draw for you? Is that what you're pulled into as far as recognizing that person or the emotion? Is it the face that pulls you in, and that's what you're trying to draw out with your paintings?
Yes, absolutely. It's the emotion in the face, the eyes, and just the emotion people show. And I think part of that was, you know, I grew up in the 60s doing the, you know, very kind of, you know, it was a time of things happening in the country with the marches going on with Martin Luther King. So
yeah.
Civil rights, you know, I grew up doing the civil rights era. As students, I know when I was in junior high, the school I was at, we walked out of school to go march as students to City Hall. The riots were going on in different parts of the country. Also, we had a riot in Kansas City, Missouri, where I lived. And so there was always a lot of emotion going on. And so that just kind of stuck with me as far as like a draw of, you know, how can I express this in my artwork as well? And so I was always drawn into people's facial expressions and either the joy or the pain or, you know, thought, things of that nature. So doing faces were always easy. I also try to do it when I do the full figure as well, with body language and those things like that as well in certain situations. So I try to put them in environments where that would help enhance that as much. And so, those are the kind of things that kind of really stimulated me. And so those just stuck with me.
From an early age, you had mentioned in particular with the opportunity there in Arizona, which was obviously, yeah, I mean, in looking back for you, it was such a huge faraway thing. And in of course, you said that, there was, you didn't see yourself being able to develop sports wise out there. You've been an athlete. You played football professionally in the NFL, and you're also from a very early age, identified, recognized, and developing as an artist. Did you see these as two different worlds, or did you see them connected, or do you see that you're kind of just, they're two paths, and you had difficulty connecting those paths?
Yes. Now that's the truth. When early in my life, I saw them as two different paths, and it was difficult to connect them. And so it was always a struggle. As a young kid, I played a lot of sports. I mean, I was a three sport athlete. I played football, basketball, and ran track. And I did for a while in the summer play baseball, but mainly those are the three sports that I excelled in high school. But it was very difficult. I really struggled most of the time during the football season. That was the toughest with my artwork, just because of the nature of the physical parts of the sport. And, depending on, how much difficulty of what happened to my body, a lot of times my hands really get kind of beat up, and so I really didn't draw real well or something like that, or had some other injury. But when it all connected is when I went to college. And so that's when it all made sense. It's not separate. They're not two separate paths, but one. And that's what makes me me. And who helped me with that was Dr. Unger, who was my mentor while in college and in life. And he showed me that, the connection. And then I had other professors that also helped me with that in different classes, and it all made sense. And so, because you need the same type of discipline that I had to put into sports, and the same discipline applied to, I had to put into the art. So then it became aware, very, very obvious to me that I needed to connect these, and they were all the same. And that's when I really, really started excelling even more, because then I saw more of me, understanding more of what I was about, and that I wasn't two people, but I was one. If that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think it can. And I saw a big component of, how you answered that within the dedication. Both of these are coming from you, and you have this dedication in discipline around developing your talents, and of course I've heard in your answers so far, I mean, definitely with the role of a mentor or people kind of taking you aside and saying, hey, this is what I see in you, this is what I'm seeing, helping you to answer some of those questions. Have you yourself, I mean, you've received some of those things. What do you think is the role within art of, between artists and let's say mentors? Do you think there's any sort of duty or a role as an artist to help mentor other artists, maybe as you've been mentored? Do you see it in those terms?
Yes, I do. I do. I think it's something that we all should do and give back, to nurture someone. If you see that someone has that ability and that you can help them develop that, I think it is our duty to do that. It's the same duty I felt like in sports. And so how I end up, I decided to go into teaching art in high school and coaching football and track in high school. And that was my way of saying, I can give back. I've been blessed with these two wonderful gifts. So I should, want to give back to others and help them develop in all the things that they want to. And I've saw that over the years. You know, of course, I had mentors in both athletics and art. And these people as well, they had, were successful in the things that they did. And they gave me all these different skill sets to work on to better myself because that's what they had learned. And I think it's it. I think artists should always give back to other artists and help them. And it's very rewarding. It was really such a rewarding time for me when I was coaching and teaching high school because I saw their development. I saw the excitement in life. I saw even students that didn't think they had any ability. And once I was able to work with them and then bring it out of them, then they realized just how much they had, and they actually stayed in the art department. And one of the biggest joys was that, for whatever reason, in Texas, art was considered more for women. So it was a big surprise for them to see a guy that had played football also teach art. And I know that a lot of the parents, you know, especially the dads, that I say, how'd you get stuck with this job? You know, I guess they just needed you here to coach, so they just gave you this. And then I would say, no, I'm actually really a professional artist as well. And it was such a surprise to them. But I got more guys interested in art that I coached in football. And so the department grew, and then they saw their talent. And, man, you're talking about a reward to see that in their eyes and see their abilities grow and the work that they produce. I just can't tell you how exciting that is.
Well, I can hear it in your voice, and there's such power within that. I find that in you having that intimate experience of you yourself experiencing that, being receiving that, but also kind of just the change in the way people think or the assumptions that people are making around art. So I can definitely hear it in your voice, the power that you have there in teaching and in bringing folks along and saying, hey, this is all right, particularly if it's part of you and part of your expression. So this is a question I ask, and I always think there's a particular answer for each artist to a way to answer it. But why do you create? Is this something you've always had to do when you were younger? You'd see something and you draw it and you would create. Did you ever ask yourself why it is that you do create as an artist?
I kind of asked myself that earlier in life. But as, I got to know a little bit more about myself and then my, spiritual experience of being a Christian and believing in God, is that this is what I found. One of the things is, again, I kind of mentioned earlier that, my family, my dad and my mom, all those, my family members were really into music. My dad was a musician and brothers and some sisters and stuff. And then I had, my mom was into theater, and then I had a sister, she's still into theater. But I was the only one that really was into drawing. So I looked at it as that, I was given a different gift than them. I have to tell you a story. I did try to play an instrument. I know in sixth grade I tried to play the French horn. Of course, no one told me how difficult that was, but my dad and I was horrible. And so he went to the music teacher and said, please make him stop. So he gave me one of those little plastic flutophones to finish out my sixth grade career in music. But, I felt bad for a while because I was like, why can't I play like the rest of them, music better? But, my mom always said, hey, you got a different gift. You can draw, you see things and draw things. And I guess it's just that there's this internal thing inside of you, this spirit of, this gift. And, you just feel this need to just really create what you see and then express it in different ways and have it be an expression of, your voice being seen on as, a work of art. And so the more and more I was into that and I saw the response that people would see say when they saw my work and stuff like that, and it just grew because it was like, oh, great, they really get it, or they see it, you know, what I'm seeing now. So that's the only way, the best way I can kind of explain that.
Yeah, and being seen, you know, being seen and being seen for who you were. I mean, because I think it's very natural what you did is kind of say, hey, well, you know, the family trade, the family talent should, you know, is music, and I got to develop what the family trade yeah. is. And, you know, it's within what we talked about with mentoring, I mean, sometimes it's important for somebody to say, hey, no, you are a,
yeah.
you can sketch, you're a painter, you might not be. This might not be your calling, right? So,
yeah, that's true. And it wasn't. I have to say, I can laugh to this day. It was very true and very evident that was not my calling. And, you know, my brothers and sisters and my dad were very good with you know, joking with me in a way that I didn't feel horrible, and I got it. And so I knew. And the thing was that, you know, my mom was encouraging, you know, about the art. She wasn't an artist herself, but she always could see beauty in things. So that was very, a very big help for me because she was very, very encouraging. Of course, my dad was always encouraging in anything I did except for just don't pick up an instrument.
Yeah, right. Right. We're talking with Gerald Roulette on Something Rather Than Nothing podcast. And Gerald is an incredible painter. We're discussing about various aspects about art. And Gerald, one of the big questions I ask, and I've always asked it kind of in the middle of a sequence of questions. We've been talking about art. We've been referring to things as art and pieces they make as art objects, but it's a pivotal question. What is art? What do you think art is?
You know, that's a very good question. And, you know, no, art it's really been, you know, art has become kind of controversial, I mean, these days. And, you know, it's kind of hard to say, but, you know, art basically, you know, is all around us. You know, there's different ways that people express and forms and formats and fashions of it done. But, you know, artists over the centuries have used it to communicate, to express their way of viewing life. You know, you have to look at it as that it also, you know, was used historically to show us how things were during periods of time where there wasn't cameras around. That's why we're able to understand the different periods of what people looked like and what they wore. Also, even as far as like communicating on the cave walls of what, you know, what transpired during those periods of time. And then, you know, artists also were, you know, considered scientists because they, you know, they were curious about everything. So they studied, you know, they studied, you know, anatomy, you know, so they did a lot of drawings from, you know, cadavers and animals to get, you know, the, you know, true structures of everything and how things work. So art has really, to me, you know, it's a way of expressing oneself visually and, you know, getting your word out or how you see things in life. And so most artists want to get some type of reaction, response, no matter if it's negative or positive, because they want the viewer to have a reaction. And so to me, art is used to, one, again, to communicate, to be the voice of the artist, and to get the viewer to make some type of reaction or response from what they're actually seeing. So that's kind of the way, you know, other than the basic of, you know, the foundations of art, which is, you know, the elements of art and the principles of design, that's really what, you know, I try to teach my students, and that's really kind of how I see art.
I love doing the podcast with a teacher. Because I can just listen. I've mentioned in previous episodes, you know, I'm trying to do popular philosophy and just kind of explore a passion of mine. But there is also a component of what I do just so I can listen to what some good answers are to these questions. But I got another bigger questions for you. The title of the podcast is it has to do with the act of creation. You can answer it as you will, art and otherwise. But why is there something rather than nothing, Gerald?
Well, you know, I kind of researched that, and I thought about that, and I talked to some people, and I kind of did research on a guy called Leibniz, and he was back in the 1600s, you know, and so he posed some questions. He had these four questions, for the logic of the argument of this, and one was that everything that exists has an explanation or of its existence. And then the second answer was, if the universe has an explanation of its existence, that explanation is God. And then the third one was, the universe exists. And then the fourth one was, therefore, the explanation of the universe existence is God. Now, you know, as I'm reading that and I'm thinking that and thinking about my work and myself, one thing that, he said, and I say too, that we all can believe in the existence of the universe. We all know the universe exists. You know, if nothing else, you do know that, you know. And so the other thing was, as far as me, you know, because I do believe in God, I believe in God giving me this gift. And so therefore, I feel like I create based off of the gift that I was given by God, and therefore my creations exist. And so for me, I have to work from something. You know, there are artists I feel like can work from nothing, but for me, I work from something because that's the best way for me to create. And so then, therefore, my creations do exist because I do believe that because God gave me this gift, and anything I create is an existence within itself. So I am an artist that has to have something to see to create. I don't normally create things from nothing, but there are artists I do believe that can create from nothing, and therefore their work I feel still exists, but they're just creating basic from whatever is within them. And so that was the best way that I felt like I could answer that question. And I hope that makes some sense, but that's what I see and feel.
It makes a whole lot of sense. And I really appreciate your answer. It's a beautiful answer. And, you know, part of the question I always ask, it tends to be such a huge philosophical, scientific, creative question, whatever way, you know, somebody's going to view it. But I just like it because we're talking about things being created. We're talking about art. We're talking about, like, you know, why are we doing these type of things? And the artist I've thought for quite a long time is kind of in this unique position of that you would experience in creating art pieces where. It feels like, okay, there's, you know, there's a blank canvas and I have these tools and I have these type of things and skills. And then there's something that creates this, and as you described too, an emotional reaction, you know, to the viewer. And there's a power that I think we always kind of struggle with or try to describe. And, thank you so much. I really appreciate, your thinking and your answer to that question is very provocative. Gerald, one of the pieces at the end of the interview here that I want to get in, it's a little bit more open-ended. I was lucky enough to encounter your art, and what I want folks to do if listen to the podcast is for them to know how to, you know, whether it's interact with you or interact with your art pieces themselves. Can you give some suggestions to the listeners as far as, how they can find your work, how they can connect with you, see your work physically or online. Can you give us some guidance?
Yes. Right now I'm in the process. I know I had a slow start from, you know, moving here from Texas, and I haven't got everything set up, but I do have my artwork on display. I posted on Instagram, which is Gerald Roulette at whatever the Instagram thing is. But it's on Instagram. They can find it on there. I am in the process of going ahead setting up a new website. I'll be working on that this month. And also I'm going to set up a site on Tumblr as well. My artwork, other than right now, they have the one piece there on permanent display on the second floor at Concordia University in the library. I have, so, you know, there's some pieces that have been purchased that are around in, you know, from Seattle and in Portland area and in Vancouver, but those are all individual collectors. So I'm working on getting out more of that display. I have displayed my work at the Brasswork Art Gallery here in Portland, and I'm working on setting up another show for that, and also at Prima Salon downtown Portland as well. There was some work on display. So as far as interacting with me, you can, you know, again, right now you can contact me on Instagram, or you can email me at, and this is all lowercase, kcartist@sbcglobal.net. And hopefully, again, I'll have my website out, and you guys can see even more work. Working on some new works. I've been, one of the things I love to do is work on about two or three paintings at once, because that kind of just keeps me very, very stimulated and really into the now, and so it also helps me generate a great deal of work. And so I would love for more of these listeners to get involved and ask me more about my work, or to be interested in seeing some pieces in person.
Oh, that's a lot of great options. I myself am looking forward very much to see you know, to seeing your pieces in person, and you know, I can offer you a gift of a very different sort right now. I am we had chatted prior to, you know, starting the podcast here about the Kansas City Chiefs going into the AFC Championship. I am an obnoxious New England Patriots fan. So the gift I'm going to give to you is, I will be rooting for the Chiefs, and you can, that's one small thing I can extend to you, Gerald.
Thank you, Ken. I really appreciate that.
We've been talking with Gerald Roulette on Something Rather Than Nothing podcast. I, for one, have learned a whole lot from him, and I wanted to thank you, Gerald, for sharing, you know, your world, your art world, and your talents, and making the time to chat this evening. It is it's deeply appreciated, and again, wanted to thank you for your time.
Yeah, you're very welcome, and I really appreciate your time. It's been great and lots of fun. I have a big smile on my face, and this has been a great Sunday for me.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Gerald, and look forward to talking to you again.
All right. Thank you very much, Ken.
Take care now. Bye now.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
You are listening to Something Rather Than Nothing.